Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Now, this is a story worth telling because this is a story that is compelling. Tyler Moon, athletic, participant, young, vibrant, all the things that most of us want to be. And then he got sidetracked. But he's back, and he joins us now. Tyler, thank you for joining us.
Hey, Maxie. Thanks so much for having me on.
Tell me about how you grew up, because you were an active young man, weren't you?
Yeah. I grew up in a very active home up near the St. Cloud area in a town called Sauk Rapids, Minnesota. Played a bunch of sports, mostly focused on football, basketball, and a little bit of track and field in high school.
Okay, and then one day you were sidelined. Explain what happened.
Yeah, so in 2019, I was running the Twin Cities 10-mile race, and shortly after I crossed over mile 8, I suffered a sudden cardiac arrest, which was something that I never expected to happen. I was, like I kind of mentioned, I was a pretty healthy, active kid, and in college I actually played football as well, so having any type of sudden cardiac arrest was not on my radar, and shortly after that 8th mile, that's when it happened.
What did you think was happening?
Well, that's a great question, Maxie. I actually don't have any memory of the event.
Really?
My latest memory of race day in 2019 is shortly after mile 1. And that's due to the fact, there's a couple different reasons, but it could be some of the medication that they gave me after I was in the ER and ICU, or it also could just be some traumatic brain jujitsu maybe helping me not to experience some of those emotions and feelings.
So you literally don't remember running, huh?
Well, I remember running past mile 1, which I'm very thankful I have that memory. That's where I saw my family, and was my parents and my fiance at the time. I gave him kind of a hug, and we had made a little joke, and then I just kept going. But my next kind of, conscious memory is in the hospital, and actually getting shuttled from hospital in Twin Cities down to the Mayo Clinic.
Wow. So this is serious stuff. And what were you told? What happened? Did somebody see you collapse? How did this go down?
Yeah, so shortly after mile 8, I was running kind of in the pack with everybody else, like a typical, Twin Cities 10-mile race. And there was, a ton of people around me. But the story that I've been told is there was one doctor that was just right beside me. And he kind of heard me take 2 or 3 really big breaths in. And then all of a sudden, I just collapsed. And not in a way of like tripping or stumbling, but my body just straight up collapsed onto the pavement. From there, that one doctor stopped, and then as people were running by, medical personnel kind of came from all over, and there was eventually about a dozen people surrounding me, and they were talking to each other in medical language, asking to check pulses and things like that, and then they made the call to give CPR because they couldn't get a pulse out of me.
Who gave you the CPR? Was it the doctor that was running by, or don't you even know?
Well, it's a number of people. So there was probably, they kept rotating. So when you do CPR, if you have enough people, one person gives chest compressions. You have a couple people doing the breaths. And then you just work in rotation. So one person gives, 30 compressions, and everyone else is counting and encouraging the other person. And then the next person jumps on, because it really is, it's a very intense workout in some ways because of the motion and everything. So there was, in total, they say about a dozen people, whether it was giving chest compressions or helping me with a breathing apparatus. They had someone come up. There was a volunteer, from a race volunteer, that came up quickly, and he had a breathing apparatus they put into my mouth. And so a couple folks were working on the breaths, and a couple folks were working on the chest compressions for anywhere between 10 and 15 minutes before an ambulance came, and I had an AED shock me and bring me back to a normal heart rhythm.
So, and you don't remember any of this, and I'm sure that, and I'm sure your family probably is not aware of it either, because you're 8 miles from where you last saw him, or 7 miles, huh?
Yeah. So it was. Yeah, I don't have any memory of it. I actually saw my family around mile 7, and so they were. We had planned to meet at mile 1, mile 4, mile 7, and mile 10, and I had seen them at mile 7, and then they went down to the finish line, and they were waiting for me there. And I never came. And so that was a pretty traumatic experience. My fiance, who's not my wife, but my fiance at the time, she got a phone call from an unmarked or unannounced number. And it was actually a police officer letting them know that I had been taken to a hospital and they were going to come pick up my parents and pick up my fiance and take them to see me. And they didn't necessarily know what the issue was at that point in time. They thought maybe it was a broken leg.
Sure.
Hit my head or something like that. But when they got to the hospital and they were told the news of what happened, it was pretty shocking for everybody.
Now, was that because in this day and age, all those forms we fill out and it's always got that emergency contact on it, were they able to take your number, put it into a computer and call her? I mean, we always think, oh boy, we're never going to use this when we fill out these forms. But is that how they got to her that quickly?
You know, that's a great question. I don't know how they actually got her number. I would think so. I filled out the information online before everything happened. I didn't actually fill out, there's information on the back of your race bib, and I didn't fill that out. So I was one of those persons. They didn't know my name when I got to the hospital, but the race committee knew who I was because of my race number. So I would definitely agree with you, Maxie. Fill out that stuff because it's so incredibly important for you and your loved ones.
So, and I assume, is this a genetic defect? But certainly it has nothing to do with the kind of condition that you're in.
Yeah, that's, you know, it's actually nothing to do with my genes that we know of. So after everything happened, we ended up down at the Mayo Clinic with their heart clinic and had a bunch of tests done, my parents, and they had heart monitors that they wore. We did testing on them, and they did a bunch of testing on me, and nothing came back conclusive that it was a genetic issue. And really, to this point, we don't have a firm answer. We have a pretty good one. We don't necessarily know why it happens or why it did actually happen. But through the treadmill tests and different things that I've done, they've noticed that I have a kind of a funny heartbeat around a certain heart rhythm when I run or do workouts. And I've probably had it my whole entire life. But on that specific day, they don't know if maybe because of the intensity of
yeah,
the
you're hyped
or,
up and yep.
Yeah, what it was or the adrenaline that maybe that funky beat just hit at the, you know, perfect time and it caused my heart to go into this tachycardia, which is, it's not necessarily a heart attack. The sudden cardiac arrest and heart attacks are a little bit different. But the tachycardia basically means that my heart was just going so fast. I wasn't actually pumping any blood. It was just kind of quivering, which is why I just collapsed. So I had no blood flow going out through my body.
Now in 2021, you decided to run it again. And you've,
yeah.
you've got a pretty good partner or team with you. Explain this last year.
Yeah, so, and maybe I'll step back a little bit. So in 2020, just about a year after everything happened, Twin Cities in Motion, everything was virtual due to COVID. And so we actually ran a marathon in 2020.
And you did that?
We did that. Yeah, that was in 2020. And that was virtual. My wife, she rollerbladed next to me. And then I ran around a lot of Minneapolis, a lot of the lakes in Uptown area. And it was a cold day in October, like the coldest day. It was like 18 degrees or something like that.
Yeah, it was
like
cold
that.
Last year in October, if people don't remember.
Yeah. Oh, we were just so focused on running it and doing it. And we really wanted to share our story and encourage people, especially in that time of COVID. So we ran that in 2020, which is a big hurdle for us. And then as we fast forward to 2021, we actually ended up running the 10 mile again, but we did something more called the Looney Challenge. So it's a set of three races on Saturday and Sunday of the Twin Cities in Motion Medtronic Marathon Race Weekend. And it's a 10K and a 5K on Saturday morning and then the 10 mile on Sunday morning.
So you do two races on Saturday, a 10K and then a 5K?
Correct.
And separated by how much time?
They give you kind of like a half hour in between. So it's not like a ton of time. But it's enough to get you a little bit of a rest.
But and didn't you have a doctor or two run with you?
I had no doctors there with me, but just a lot of supportive family and friends and loved ones. So I actually ran the 10K with my dad, and then when we got done with that, I ran the 5K with my wife. And then the next day, I ran the 10-mile with one of the people that gave me CPR.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, one of the people that gave you CPR you ran with.
Yeah, so I ran with him. He was there on Saturday morning. He ran the 10K and the 5K. He was running a different pace than we were. But a 10-mile on Sunday, we ran together, and that was a really special. It was all really special races, but it was pretty cool to run that 10-mile together. And it was very different than the marathon was the year before, because that felt very removed from the marathon weekend.
The energy and everything else that goes with it, yeah.
Yeah, not the lights and the energy and all that stuff like that. But it was really cool to do it together, and I had my parents and my wife were there, and it was just a really awesome day and a great way to enjoy that marathon weekend.
And I assume that whatever diagnosis they've given you allows you to run, and do you feel like it's under control? Is there medication? What goes with this?
Yeah, so it's taken a lot of time and some intentionality in terms of learning about my heart and learning about sudden cardiac arrest, as well as I do have a defibrillator in place, and so that's kind of the big medical safety net. So that
you carry that with you when you run and everything, or what?
Well, it's actually implanted inside of me. So
okay,
So it's in my body, and it we learned in 2020 it actually shocked me. Due to some kind of misreading of my heart. So it works. We know it works, Maxie.
You know it works for better or worse, huh? But it's not a pacemaker. It's a defibrillator.
It's a defibrillator. There is a pacemaker function to it, but in its prime function, it's a defibrillator. So it's always tracking me. And it, I mean, essentially, is you know, you see AEDs or you see on medical shows where they say clear and they, you know, shock a patient. That's basically, in some ways, inside of me and always tracking my heart just in case I get out of rhythm.
Do you feel scared or do you feel comfortable and confident now that you've had it in there for a while?
Yeah, I feel very confident. It's taken definitely some time and testing, and it really is amazing the medical professionals that we have and people that we've come in contact with at Mayo and with my device. And so just taking those time, learning about my heart and looking at how it has that funky rhythm, and then just learning more and more and more about me specifically. And then obviously time, and you know, going for, I mean, right away it was, I never ran alone for the longest time because that was obviously something we wanted to be smart about. And then slowly I'd run alone, and I always have a phone with me. I have my watch that my wife can track me on. And so slowly, you know, kind of go 1 mile around the neighborhood, go two, and you just kind of build on and build your confidence and get to a point where you're essentially almost back to a pre- cardiac arrest level, but not that we'll ever probably get there, and we don't really want to because this is what life is now. We're thankful for it, but just taking some time, and we're happy to be where we are now.
How old are you, Tyler?
I'm 27. That's a great question. I always forget. 27.
You're in your prime, buddy. Enjoy it. Yeah.
Well, thank you.
You know, that's a wonderful story with a great ending, and I appreciate you sharing it with us because when I heard cardiac arrest and that young and he's a runner, I'm going, you know, we hear about these things from time to time, but you're going, I got to hear that story. How does that work? And so you did a great job of articulating it, and we appreciate it very much. Thank you for sharing it with us.
You bet, Maxie. Thanks for having me on, and have a great week.
You too. Tyler Moon, nice enough to join us. Wow.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews, or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.